amen. Well, thank you guys for all of you that drove out. You didn't stay at the camp or whatever, but you made the drive out here. Good for you. You didn't know this, but you were coming for an appointment with God. And I'm so excited to preach with you today out of the Word of God. You're going to get such a very practical message. I was going to continue on with my series on the gifts of the Holy Spirit, but I just really felt like the Lord wanted me to go in a different direction today. And so we're going to take a little bit of a turn, and Michelle's message was right in line with what we're going to be preaching on today. And so I hope that you're ready. I want to ask you if you would do something. Would you please, I know you came all the way out here, and there's no sense coming all the way out here and then leaving the same way that you came. You might as well come out here and get changed, right? And so I'm going to ask you to do this one thing. As you listen, I want you to listen not with your ears, but listen through your ears. I want you to listen with your heart. I want you to listen with your spirit. I want you to take the faith that's in you, because the Bible says to every man has been given the measure of faith. So I want you to take that measure of faith, and I want you to take it, and I want you to mix it together with the Word of God that's being preached. The Bible says when you mix it with faith, then it will profit you. And I don't know about you, but I like profit. I mean, I like prophets, but I like profit too. And so if you're going to get touched and changed by the Word of God, the way to do it is to take the faith that's in your heart and the faith that also hits your heart by the Word of God being preached, mix it all together into a wonderful something, and then grab a hold of it and let it touch and change your life forever. That's the way that you do that. So today, I hope that you'll do that as we journey through the Word of God. We're going to have fun together. It's going to be a fun message, but it is going to challenge you like it challenged me. If you'd like a title for your message, the title of this message is Reach. Reach. Those of you that would like to get notes, you can, if you're online or whatever, you can go and get the notes right off of our website. They should be available for you already in PDF format if you've got one of those deals where you can fill it in on your PDF. Otherwise, later on, if you want to go back through Facebook Live, you want to just watch it, fill in the blanks, prepare yourself for small group or whatever, you can feel free to do that. And I just think that you would be wise to, if nothing else, go through and answer the questions at the very end, because the questions are going to set you up for success. So I'm going to talk to you about reach. I want to talk to you, first of all, about the problem with reaching. The problem with reaching. Now, I don't know if you guys have ever seen the TV program, but I like to watch this game show every once in a while, if I can ever find it on, called Wipeout. You guys ever see that show, Wipeout? It started out, I think, as a Japanese game show. Japanese, by the way, have the weirdest game shows you've ever seen. I mean, I actually saw one where they had a bunch of guys sitting in just their underpants on blocks of ice in the snow, in the winter, drinking water, and the first one to not be able to hold their bladder anymore loses. That's a weird game. But this show, Wipeout, is great. I wish that I could have a youth camp at the Wipeout facility. That would be amazing. If you're not familiar with Wipeout, they got people that are absolute characters. They get on there, they dance around. They even get some really unathletic people. And they get them out there, and they go through this crazy obstacle course that has things that will come out of nowhere and hit them. You know, they got to swing across water, all kinds of stuff. Well, one of my favorite episodes of Wipeout was where they had to go all the way through this obstacle course, and the final step of the obstacle course was they had to get onto a zip line and just zip across some water. All they had to do was hold on, and they had to swing across on the zip line to this other platform and just land. It was no big deal at all. Well, the first person gets up there and starts to go, and I think the other contestants don't get to watch the previous one. So the first contestant gets up there, gets all the way through the obstacle course, climbs up onto the final podium where they reach up to grab onto the handle to swing across on the zip line, and this huge punching glove comes out of nowhere and boom, hits them in the stomach, blows them right off the platform into the water. I mean, they were stretched out as far as they could get, and pow! I mean, just got decked. It was hilarious. I like other people's pain. I don't like my own pain, but other people's pain is totally okay. I'm just kidding. I'm not that mean. But, you know, have you ever tried to reach out and grab a hold of something and then somebody slaps your hand? If you lived in my house, what you would have experienced as a child is that you would reach for something and then your father would stab you in the hand with the fork. Oh, would you like some? You know? And do you think that that teaches you something? It teaches you something, doesn't it? Sometimes the things that we go after and we have a negative response to that teaches us don't reach. It teaches us don't reach. I learned to eat very little in my home. I'm just kidding. But it teaches us sometimes when we reach up, the next time that we reach up, we might think, is there going to be something that decks me in the stomach? And when we reach out and somebody smacks our hand, we might think twice the next time before we reach out, right? Have you ever reached for something like really far, like just barely at the edge of your reach? Have you ever done that? Let me give you a demonstration. Let me get a kid up here. I had something in my pocket. Hold on. Maybe it's in my pocket. Nope. Oh, right here. There it is. Yeah. All right. I got money. Oh, all right. Is Kyra going to be my example? All right, Kyra, come on up here. We're going to go on the stage. We're going to go up here where everybody can see us. So all I want you to do, Kyra, is you got to just keep your feet right where they are. You can do 1 foot, whatever you want to do. But you can have this if you can grab it. Okay? All right. Go ahead. Come on, you can get it. You can almost get it. Come on. All right. So give Kyra a round of applause. You can go buy a Slurpee later on or a 59-cent ice cream cone in Kapolei or whatever, you know? What I wanted to show you is that when we really reach for something, sometimes we get off balance, don't we? Sometimes we find out that we fall flat on our face. If you've ever really reached for something, you realize that it gets you into a vulnerable position, doesn't it? We cannot keep our balance when we really reach for something. I know for many of you, you've already seen this example before, but when the Bible talks about faith, faith is more than just an idea. Faith is more than a feeling. Faith is more than just hope. Faith is getting out there into a realm where nothing can help you except God. And faith, really, if you were to give it a physical example, faith looks very much like this. I know it's kind of a weird angle, but faith looks very much like this. Where if this stage fails me, I will fall down. There is no way that I could possibly recover from this position of leaning this hard. You see, that's what faith is with Jesus. Is it's about leaning so hard on Jesus that if he fails you, you're done. But the good news is, love never fails. The good news is that Jesus will never fail you. So the thing here is that we have to lean correctly and we've got to learn to lean right, but we've got to learn to reach. If you've been taught in your life through your experiences, don't lean, don't reach, I want to tell you, I've got to contradict that today. Sometimes life experiences tell us not to reach. There's only one problem with that. The devil doesn't want us to reach, but God does. So if God wants us to reach, then guess what? We ought to reach, shouldn't we? I want to point you to a number of reasons why we ought to reach. Here's the thing. Miracles happen. You want to write this down, maybe. Miracles happen when we reach in faith. Miracles happen when we reach in faith. I want to point you to Mark chapter 3. Now, I'm going to go through more scripture than some people are comfortable with, and that's okay with me. I'd rather have more scripture and less me rather than more me and less scripture. You know what I'm saying? Mark chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. You can catch up with me if you want to, or you can just listen in. But I encourage you to go through your Bible and highlight some things. So here's the thing. The Bible says this, and he, talking about Jesus, entered the synagogue again, and a man was there who had a withered hand. I don't know if you've ever seen someone with a withered hand. I have. So they watched him closely, whether he would heal him on the Sabbath, so that they might accuse him. In other words, they're waiting to smack his hand when he does something that he ought to do. They're looking to see whether he would heal him on the Sabbath, so they might accuse him. And he said to the man who had the withered hand, "Step forward." Now, at this moment, this gentleman has the opportunity to say, "Yes, I will," or "No, I won't." He says, "Step forward." Now, this guy knows that there might be something that is about to take place because all the eyes are on him. So he has a choice, step or not step. So Jesus tells him, "Step forward." Let me just ask you kind of a simple question. When Jesus tells you to step, what should you do? You ought to step. When Jesus says step, you ought to step. Even if everybody's watching, even if the eyes of the world are on you, you ought to step. Jesus says, "Step forward," verse 4. Then he said to them, "Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do evil, to save a life or to kill?" But they kept silent. And when he had looked around at them with anger, being grieved by the hardness of their hearts, he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." Listen. And he, talking about the guy with the withered arm, stretched it out. Jesus didn't pull it. Nobody else pulled it. Nobody else helped him. He stretched out his hand. Listen, and his hand was restored as whole as the other one. When he stretched out his hand was restored the same as being whole as the other one. Do you know what would have happened if he never stretched out his hand? If he had learned to not reach, if he had learned to not step, if he had learned to not listen, if he had learned that nothing's going to happen, you can try it. How many days did he try that on his own? How many other days of his life growing up did he try, like, "Oh, I hope something could happen," and nothing happened? But that day, something happened. I want to tell you that even if nothing else happened any other day in your life, when Jesus starts to talk to you and tells you to step, you better step. And when Jesus says stretch, you better stretch. Miracles happen when you reach. Matthew chapter 9, verse 20 through 22 says this, "And suddenly," you guys heard this a little bit ago from Michelle, "and suddenly a woman who had a full flow of blood for 12 years came from behind and touched the hem of his garment." As you heard, touched is about fastening onto. It's about grabbing onto with like that pit bull locked jaw, not gonna let go, tenacity. Grabbing hold of healing. "That she came behind and touched the hem of his garment, for she said to herself, 'If only I may touch his garment, I shall be made well.' But Jesus turned around, and when he saw her, he said, 'Be of good cheer, daughter, your faith has made you whole.'" You notice he didn't say, "I made you whole." He said, "Your faith made you whole." The connection of her faith and his anointing made her whole. It's that transaction that took place. She had to stretch out her faith. See, her faith could have kept her inside of her house, because she stayed in her house for 12 years. She stayed there. Listen to me. She stayed there for 12 years. Why? Because she could not go out, because if she went out, she was unclean and she could have been killed. She stayed in her house. She did not stretch for 12 years. But when she heard that there was a man named Jesus who had come into her town, who had the power to heal, she stretched her faith. She reached with her faith and she said within herself, "If I just simply grab onto with great tenacity the hem of his garment, I will be made whole." See, she could have let her faith stay dormant for a long time. She could have let it just rest there like it had done there for 12 years. But she said, "No, if I reach with my faith, then I will be made whole." You know, I think maybe, think about this for a moment. Maybe the worst thing that could have happened to her is not that she could have gotten stoned to death in the street. Maybe the worst thing that could have happened to this woman is that nothing happened because she never reached. The Bible said she consumed all of her livelihood. She had nothing left. Those 12 years of inactivity when it came to the realm of faith and healing, cost her everything. And just that one moment of change radically changed her life forever. And possibly the worst thing that could have happened to this woman is that she never reached when she should have reached. Exodus chapter 4, verse 2 through 4 says this. So the Lord said to him, "What is in your hand?" This is the story about Moses, by the way. When Moses finally came around after years in the wilderness, wandering around and helping his father-in-law and all that stuff. And he was supposed to be the deliverer of his people, but he was with a bunch of sheep. And all of a sudden, that burning bush that was not being burned caught his attention, because that's weird. Caught his attention. What is this thing? And God began to speak to him. And this is what God said. The Lord looked at him and out of the burning bush, and he said, "What is that in your hand?" And he said, "A stick. That's all I got. I got a stick." And God said, "Cast it on the ground." So he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. Listen to this. And Moses fled from it. He ran from it. Then in verse 4, the Lord said to Moses, "Reach out your hand and take it by the tail." And he reached out his hand and he caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. Now, you probably don't think about this stuff when you're reading your Bible, but you got to start to think about this stuff. It is so important to realize that the very thing that God intended to be a vehicle and a miracle in the hands of Moses, it was supposed to be a stick to eat all other sticks. It was a snake that would eat all other snakes. It was a thing that proved that God was with Moses, and the very thing that Moses was supposed to grab a hold of, he ran from. What happens when you run from the thing that's your miracle? It's scary. It's a snake, Pastor Jake. I understand that. But it's not a snake when you grab a hold of it and God has told you to do it when it turns into a rod in your hand. It's really the vehicle of victory over your enemy. It's the conquering of an empire that was the most dominant empire in the world at that time. That thing was the vehicle by which the water was turned to blood and by which the locusts came in. And all these different things took place with that rod that Moses turned and fled from. Sometimes we've got to go towards the thing that scares us most. You've heard me say it before. Luke chapter 10, verse 19 says, "And I will give you power over serpents and over scorpions and over power of and all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." Well, what is the point of having that power if you never have to do that? If you never have to walk on serpents, if you never have to walk on scorpions, and I'm not just talking physically, but even spiritually, if you never have to go there, if everything's roses everywhere you go, why would you need that? That is the most worthless power in the world. But can I just tell you that the very way that you have to go, the devil will be standing in that doorway, blocking your way, saying, "No entry here, buddy. You can't come this way. I'm here." But the only problem is that God has given me over all the power over all of the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt me. So you just start singing, "These boots were made for walking." And that's just what they'll do. Some of you guys are too young to know that song. I'm too young to know that song. But my parents made me listen to it. "And one of these days, these boots are going to walk all over you." So... sometimes we see something that God wants us to reach out and grab, and it scares the living spit out of us. It is scary. You know what you do? Grab it anyway. Grab it anyway. It's supposed to scare you. If it's not scary in some way, in some dimension, it probably isn't God. God doesn't call you to do what you can do. He calls you to do what he can do. God doesn't call you to do what's possible without him. He calls you to do what's impossible without him. That's why it's scary, because you can't do it on your own. He's not looking for you to trust in you. He's looking for you to trust in him. Remember, it's called faith. And we got to trust in the rock that is higher than we are. Can you say amen to that? Look, when it comes to our financial situation, I'm going to be very brief here. But when it comes to our financial situation, we've got to reach. Check it out. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18. It says this, and you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the power to get wealth. To get wealth. Why does he want you to get wealth? Because it says that he may establish his covenant with you, which he swore to your fathers as it is this day. He gave you the power to get wealth, not receive wealth. He gave you the power to get wealth, not sit idly by while wealth pours into your bank account. He gave you the ability, in other words, to reach, to grab a hold of the financial promise that he has for you. You see, the Israelites were given the entire promised land. Am I right? But did they have to fight for it? You betcha. There was blood spilt. There were swords clanging together. There were lots of things that died in the process of Jesus giving them the land that he had promised to them. But you see, there was no victory without them going in and actually swinging a sword. Even when the walls of Jericho came down and they walked silently, I mean, they had to walk. Number two, after the walls came down, they had to go in and execute the plan of God to destroy everything that was in that city and burn it to the ground. If they did not do that, the walls of Jericho would have fallen down and nothing else would have taken place. You understand that there's a co-working between us and God? The Bible says, and God working with them. Not working for them, working with them. God works with you. So if we do nothing, God does nothing. Sometimes we're just waiting, but really what we need to be doing is we need to be getting. For those of you that are following along in your notes and you want the blanks, we must reach in order to get wealth. We have to reach out. Maybe we should listen to this. Maybe the first reaching we ought to do is reaching with prayer. It's not just reaching with our hands. It's not just reaching with our engine. It's not just reaching with our passion or with our drive or with our motivation. It's about first reaching in prayer. When we start to reach with prayer and we listen with our ears to hear what God wants us to do, then that's what's important where we begin to reach with our motivation and our energy and our excitement and all that stuff. But without God, what's the point of doing it? If God's not there, why would you want to go there? Let me say it the other way around. It doesn't matter where it is as long as God is there. That's something that I've had to just surrender in my heart to the Lord so many times over is that, God, I don't care. People ask me, what do you think about leaving Hawaii? Now, I was born and raised here. And people ask me, what if God asked you to move? I'm like, I don't care where God asked me to go. I'll go anywhere God wants me to go as long as he's there. And I won't stay anywhere he's not. See, I've got to go where God is because if he's not there, then what's the point? I mean, I'm not a Christian because I joined a spiritual club. I don't get the Christian crate in the mail, you know what I mean? I'm a Christian because I'm where God is. I'm doing his work. The Bible says as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons and the daughters of God. So if we follow him, then all of a sudden we become a Christian. But if we're not doing those things, we are not. We're just pretending, right? When it pertains to our relationships and our family, first thing I want to tell you is that sometimes gifts can reach for us in our relationships. Gifts can reach for us in our relationships. I'm not saying buy people off, but if it works, go for it. Right? Gifts can reach for us in our relationships. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 16 tells us this. It says, a man's gift makes room for him. Now, somebody might not ever listen to you, but if you give them a big gift, maybe they'll listen for a moment. You know, if you're sitting in the brand new car that you give them in their driveway, they might listen. When you give something, sometimes it opens the door. Now, you've got to hear God on how to do that. In Genesis chapter 32, verses 18 through 20, there was a breach between Jacob and Esau, right? There was a breach that took place because there was some usurpation that happened earlier on in their relationship. But this is what happened. Then when they're about to meet again, Jacob was a little bit scared. He thought maybe Esau might still be out for blood. Well, this is what the Bible says in verse 18. Then you shall say, they are your servant Jacob's. All this drove of presents and herds and gold and all this stuff, all of that stuff, they are your servant Jacob's. It is a present sent to my lord Esau. And behold, he is also behind us. He sent the gifts first. In fact, you even heard Christina preach about this last week, about the breach that was there between her and her stepbrother. And yet gifts began to open the door. And it not only did that, but it also changed her heart. Do you know that giving of a gift can change your heart just as much, if not more, than it'll change the recipient of the gift? If you've never given a gift that was like a scary gift to give, you ought to try it sometime. You ought to try to give a gift sometime, just, I mean, even to the Lord if you want to keep it really spiritual. I mean, give a gift that makes you like scared. If it doesn't scare you, maybe it's not big enough. You should have that feeling at least once in your life. Why? Because Jesus didn't call us to just give stuff that scares us. He said, I want all of your heart. I want all of your soul. I want all of your strength. If you've never thought about being an indentured servant to the Lord, about giving everything, about your life being forfeit for Jesus, then maybe that's something we ought to consider. I don't think that Christianity is living our life the way that we want to and then adding on a little bit of Jesus. I think it's us laying it all down and letting Jesus live. That's what I think that Christianity is. Where was I? I was in verse 19. So, and behold, Jacob is also behind us. So he commanded the second and the third and all who followed the drove, saying, in this manner you will speak to Esau when you find him. And also say, behold, your servant Jacob is behind us. For he said, I will appease him with the present that goes before me, and afterward I will see his face. Perhaps he will accept me. You know what could have happened is that Esau could have taken all the gifts and killed Jacob anyway. It could have happened. But it didn't. A gift made room for him. A gift made way for him. In fact, it kind of seems like maybe Esau's heart had already changed, but we don't know that. We don't know at what point, maybe after the first drove, or maybe after the second drove, or maybe it was after the third drove of finding out that, whoa, the gifts are still coming and Jacob's still coming behind. Like, this guy is really sorry that he found out that he didn't want to kill his brother after all. We don't know what point that was, but we do know that a gift made a difference. Here's kind of my final point here today. I'm going to spend a little bit of time on this. I want to tell you that Jesus was a reacher. You think Jesus was a reacher? I think Jesus absolutely reached. I think he reached as far as he could possibly reach. I think he reached further than we could possibly reach in return. But I want to give you some physical examples of Jesus reaching while he walked this earth. First of all, in Matthew chapter 14. Now, I don't normally read out of the Message version of the Bible, but after checking it out and everything like that, I'm going to read it to you because I like the way that it says it, and it's accurate in this context. In verse 30 through 33 of Matthew 14, in the Message version of the Bible, it says this. But he looked down, talking about Peter. He looked down at the waves churning beneath his feet. He lost his nerve, and he started to sink. He cried, Master, save me. Jesus didn't hesitate. He reached down and grabbed his hand. Listen, he reached down and he grabbed his hand. Then he said, faint-hearted, what got into you? The two of them climbed into the boat and immediately the wind died down. The disciples in the boat, having watched the whole thing, worshiped Jesus, saying, this is it. You are God's son for sure. The whole thing about Jesus proving the fact that he was the Messiah in the wind and the waves is beside the point for today. I want to tell you that Jesus reached. He could have just watched. You know what I'm saying? Like, bloop, there goes Peter. Bye, Peter. What happened to your faith? See you in heaven at the pearly gates. He could have just watched Peter, but he didn't watch Peter. He reached for Peter. And not only did he reach, but he grabbed him and he lifted him up, got him back into the boat where it was safe, back in the boat. You know, God reaches to save us. Do you realize that? God reaches, even now, to save us. And not only does he do it just to save us, but he saves us and he changes our doom into destiny. Do you realize that? Peter was doomed. If Jesus didn't reach and grab him and save him at that moment, his destiny would have been forfeit and his doom would have been sealed. But at this moment, when Jesus reached down and grabbed him, his doom was changed into destiny. His destiny was to turn the world upside down with the other apostles. Can you say amen to that? I hope that you're getting the point here today, that there's some reaching going on in the Bible. In Acts chapter 3, verse 6 through 8, the Bible says this about Jesus acting through the hands of his apostles. It says, then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Listen. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and his ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. I don't want to go too far in this direction, but it bears saying that you know that it was a man that had no strength in his legs outside of the gate of the temple, right outside of the beautiful gate. He was close, but he didn't have the strength to get in. He had the proximity, but he didn't have the access. He couldn't get in there on his own. And Peter and John said, look on us. And they grabbed him by the hand. And he said, and they lifted him up. And all of a sudden, he gained strength. And he went in to the presence of God with them. You know that there's some people in your life where they don't have the strength to get in there. They don't have the strength. They're like, man, I got to get my act cleaned up. You don't need to get your act cleaned up. The Bible tells us that we're fishers of men. When was the last time you saw a clean fish jump into the boat? Scaled, gutted, everything, just clean, hopped into the boat. Never once happened, ever. Every fish that gets caught is a dirty fish, and you got to clean it while it's in the boat. But the thing is that sometimes there's people that are right outside the gates, and we just need to give them some strength to be able to come into the house of God. I want to put it to you this way for those of you following along with the notes. God will use your hands to reach someone and bring them strength when they have no strength of their own. He had no strength of his own. It took Peter and John being willing to reach and grab before the strength came to this man. Do you know that you have strength that you can give to someone else? You need to give that strength to someone else. Don't keep it for yourself. They could have just walked right into the temple without this man, but they grabbed him and they said, come on, you're coming with us. How can you do that? In our modern era, there are so many ways that you can reach. You can text somebody. You can call somebody. You can Facebook somebody. You can message somebody. You can, you can just write. Imagine this. You could write. Maybe cursive if you want to. You could write a letter to them, mail them a letter saying, hey, I'm praying for you today or whatever. You could give somebody a hug that's not huggable. You ever hug somebody not huggable? When I've hurt my wife, she's been unhuggable sometimes, but I hug her anyway. You know, the dead fish hug. You know those hugs? The dead fish hug, the dead fish handshake. Hug them anyway, shake their hand anyway. Be a light in the darkness, right? Don't be the darkness, be a light in the darkness. Write to them, reach out to them. How do you reach out to them? Any possible way you can. Give your strength, reach out with your strength to help them because they're right outside the gate. You know, Jason Patterson, I had the pleasure of having some lunch with him the other day. And for those of you that know him, and we were just talking about life and things, and he was just sharing with me a story that happened just this past week. He was about to go for a run during his work day because fitness is part of his job. So he went out for a run, and he has this app that he's following, and his teammates are following with him on this run. And so he's out for a run, and not a few steps into his run when he's just about to break a sweat, a woman stops him because he's got his uniform on and everything, and the woman stops him and says, hey, do you have any bandages? And she's got all this rash and all kinds of, you know, caquillos, we call them, right? All these caquillos all over the place. And she needed ministry. And he goes, oh, yeah, just go over there down to the station. Go over there and they'll take care of you. Off on his run. And not too many steps later, God said, really? And he's like, he brought to his remembrance the story of the Good Samaritan. And all these people just passed right by. And Jason stopped. He turned around. He went back and he said, Auntie, don't worry, come with me. And he took her back to the station and began to bandage up her wounds. And just because it's part of the story, he had, 24 Karat Gold. What was that song? Bruno Mars. Yeah, Bruno Mars was on the playlist in the workroom, right? And so he's ministering with this lady, and she needed prayer. So he starts praying with her, and Bruno Mars is playing in the background. Do you know it doesn't matter who's playing in the background? It doesn't matter. If Jesus is in the room, who cares who's in the background? And I was so proud of him that he would stop. I mean, you have no idea how much pressure that stupid little watch. Can I say stupid in church? I did, twice. Well, anyway, the watch can put pressure on you. You got to finish your run. That's the most important thing. No, it's not the most important thing. The person that needs your help is the most important thing. Jesus wouldn't have kept running. He would have stopped and he would have gone back. I was so proud of Jason. But it takes sensitivity to God, because we could push that off. No, I got to finish my run. She'll probably still be there when I come back. No, she might not be. How do you know that that's not an angel and it's not a test? This is a test of the emergency broadcast system. Are you listening? Check this out. God was a reacher. In Romans 5:8, he said, "But God demonstrates his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, he sent Christ to die for us." He didn't wait for us to get right. He sent him. He reached out with all of heaven, with all of the available ability of heaven, put it all on the line so that he could get us. You're familiar with Luke 15:3-7, and I'm not going to go through the whole passage, but Jesus said, "What one of you having 100 sheep, if you lose one, you wouldn't go looking for that one? Which one of you would not go looking for that one? And then when you find it, you're going to come back and have a rejoicing party that you found the one that was lost." It's about reaching. It's not about staying comfortable with the 99. It's like, nah, I still got 99% of what I'm supposed to have. Why? When you can have 100% of what you're supposed to have. Why get comfortable with that? Why not reach? Well, because it's uncomfortable out there. The wind and the rain and it's cold and whatever. Yeah, but that lost one's going through that too. You know that, right? Go out there. Reach for everything that you're supposed to have. I'm almost done. Isaiah chapter 54, verses 2-4. If you get a chance, turn there real quick. It's actually a series almost of commands from the Lord. It says this. I want you to highlight these words, by the way. Enlarge. It says, enlarge the place of your tent. And let them, listen, stretch. Stretch forth the curtains of your habitations. Spare not. Lengthen the cords. Highlight lengthen. Lengthen the cords. And strengthen. Highlight straighten. Strengthen. Strengthen the stakes. So get the picture of what God's saying. He's saying enlarge, stretch, lengthen, strengthen. All those things. I mean, we could preach a whole series on that, but we're not going to. God's telling you, enlarge the place of your habitation. You got to make it bigger. You got to reach. You've got to stretch. You've got to strengthen. You've got to lengthen. Every dimension has got to get bigger. It says this in verse 3, "For you shall break forth on the right hand and on the left, and your seed shall inherit the Gentiles and make the desolate cities to be inhabited. Do not fear, for you shall not be ashamed, neither will you be confounded, for you shall not be put to shame, for you shall forget the name, the shame of your youth, and shall not remember the reproach of your widowhood anymore." You see, when all those things start to take place, and when you start reaching and laying hold of, when you start strengthening and enlarging and seeing everything grow, you're going to forget the reproach. You're going to forget the shame. You're going to forget the slap on the hand that you got as a kid. You're going to forget the pain of reaching that you experienced before when you start to reach the way that God wants you to reach. As I close today, I want to just say this. Listen. If we aren't reaching, our tent gets very small. It gets very small because it's centered around something small. You know what it's centered around? I. Just about the smallest letter in our alphabet, I. When we stop reaching according to God's plan and God's purpose, then our habitation gets very small. Because it's centered around I. But God is not concerned about I. He is, but he's not. He's concerned about what he can do through I. What he can do through this small thing. The Bible says, behold, how a little spark sets an entire forest on fire. You don't have to be a very big spark to make a big difference. You just have to be willing to reach. If you just want one thing, I want to tell you one thing. If you're going to remember one thing out of anything that I've preached to you today, this is the one thing that I want you to remember. I want to start you off with a quote. You guys have heard this quote before, but it bears repeating. Here's the quote. Until the pain of staying the same is greater than the pain of change, you will remain the same. I'll say it again. Until the pain of remaining the same is greater than the pain of change, you will remain the same. I think that we need to embrace the reaching and the ability to change. Listen to this. This is the one thing I want you to remember. Realize that not reaching in your spirit, your relationships, and your finances is costing you more than you know. Realize that. If you're not reaching, it's costing you more than you know, but it's costing you. I want to encourage you, if you're going to do something this week, I want to encourage you, reach. Reach in your finances. Reach in your relationships. Reach in your spirit to God. Reach out to other people. Reach out in your spirit to your word. Reach in every direction that you possibly can. And no matter what your past experience has been, reach, and God's going to come alongside you as you do what it is that he wants you to do. Can we just close in prayer today? As you just bow your heads, can I just ask real quick, just for a show of hands, how many of you in here, you felt like at least a part of this word really pertained to you, that maybe you've had experiences in the past where you've reached. Maybe you've reached in relationships and it was not returned to you. Maybe you've reached in your finances and you feel like you've gotten a smack on the wrist. Maybe you've reached out in your spirit and you feel like somehow nothing really took place and it was a bunch of wasted effort. How many of you in here would say that you've had a negative experience with reaching at some point? If that's you, would you just raise your hand? All right, almost everybody out here today. That's great. It's not great because of your negative experience. It's great because you can have a new experience. It's great because you serve a great God. It's great because you can hear God and you can have change in your life. Enlarge your tent. Stretch out the length of your stakes. Lengthen the cords. Drive down the stakes. Make them strong. And get out of being self-centered and begin to reach again. Don't let the devil smack you and get you scared of reaching where God wants you to reach. Because if you do that, you'll never get to where God wants you to go. Would you just bow your hearts with me? God, I pray right now that you would help us to really realize and live Luke 10:19. That you've given us power over all the power of the serpents and over scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt us. God, I pray right now that you would help us to live that verse, that we would reach, that we would walk, that even if we've had negative experiences, that we will forget the shame and the reproach of the past as we begin to reach and as you show up. God, you never fail. So, Father, I thank you that people hear, that people obey, and as they reach, that their lives would be never the same ever again. I thank you for it, God. I thank you for faith to rise up, to mix with your word so that it prophesies much. We thank you for your people. We speak a blessing over them in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen, amen. Did you guys get something out of that today? Hallelujah. Would you just